I'm just guessing at what Jesus actually said, you know, and we know.
Do you have your reference Bible right there?
I do.
Would you pull that out? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 and read us that sentence.
Give me just a moment.
Not much has actually changed in the spiritual game. Those messages were being taught back then just the same. The most essential.
Is it 1 Corinthians what?
3:16.
You have an amazing memory.
Oh no, I just happened to see that today. I thought, man, I wrote a note to myself.
Here's the verse. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you?
We could write more and say more. But do you not know that God's temple, okay, God, the truth's temple, dwells in you?
I'll read just another two. If anyone destroys God's temple, God destroys that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple.
And there's another version of that where it says you all is the translation, and not just you. Do you not recognize that you all are God's temple, and together God's spirit dwells in you? Just another take on it.
And those subtle translations can make a big difference in the meaning.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some Course in Miracles. We are continuing with our personal discussion, a transition that you must make. And it is a taking responsibility for your perceptions at one level. It's taking a responsibility for your feelings at another level. And it's taking responsibility for the world at another level. And it's taking responsibility for your very being at yet another level. This is the simple idea of you taking responsibility for your own circumstances. Something you have to do at whatever level seems most appropriate to you. And next year, it will change a bit. Because you'll say, no, I got that. Whatever you were studying this year. Next year, if you continue to do this book and you go through the workbook, which will make you actually filter your thoughts past the Holy Spirit. If you do the workbook, that's what those lessons kind of do. If they stop you during your day, when your ego's running the day and your timer goes off, or you remember that, hey, it's 30 minutes after the hour, I need to look at today's lesson. And you filter whatever you are doing through the sanity that's presented in the workbook lesson. This Course in Miracles is going to continue to filter your thoughts. And that's kind of what we do at these meetings too. As we look at what we're thinking and we compare it to as much of the truth as we can pull off of the page. And hopefully you do some discarding and some keeping. Hopefully you do some, this is a great phrase from the book, selective forgetting.
Well, yeah.
In the book it says, Holy Spirit will help you to, you must forget so that you can remember. Whoa. It's because you're so busy hanging on to an illusion of what you are, of what you see, of what you think, what you remember seems more real than what's happening even now. He says, you know, you're so addicted to the dream that you've created, to your habitual thoughts. You're so addicted to your own habitual thoughts that you have to forget them. if only for a minute, so that your spiritual eye can open, if only for a minute. That's all it takes. Spiritual awakenings have the ability to reset what you know to be true. Miracles are spiritual awakenings. In the beginning of a spiritual awakening, a miracle is actually not enough. The book says this. The miracle's not enough. It's required, but the miracle's not enough, because you can be exposed to truth and deny it. You can be exposed to truth and practice what you're more comfortable with. And so goes the frustrating life of the dedicated spiritual seeker who is not actually willing to change. They think they already figured it out. So goes the frustrating method that way. But Course in Miracles will wash you out of that habit because it's so immediate. Those workbook lessons, you know, they really call on you to trap the ego, grab your thinking, and press it through a filter. And so this responsibility for sight, no exception. And these are pretty strong words in here, you know, what we're talking about. And it's nothing less than changing your entire world. It's not that the world has to poof disappear, but it is that you have to, inside you, discover the perspective of the truth, that the world is a dream, that the world is not your true identity. It's nice, because if it was required you throw away the world, would anybody really go running to the cross, climb on it? Really? There's a country song. I really can't sing country. But I'm going to tell you the words, and it's kind of nice if I try, so I'm just going to try a little bit. Everybody want to go to heaven. Nobody want to go right now.
It sounds like St. Augustine.
Oh, you recognize that?
Yeah. Well, St. Augustine pretty much said that, you know, like, I believe in you, God, Jesus. I know I need to do that, but I don't want to do it right now.
Great, great. So what we do with Course in Miracles is we don't ask you to do anything so radical as everything has to disappear. However, just as radical, real, almost as radical, there has to be this miracle thought in you. Come on, folks. You really, really, really have to, at some point, somehow, even for an instant, and it only takes an instant, you have to let go of your ego identity somehow. Come on. You can't have both. You can't be grounded in the world completely and become aware of spirit. You cannot. You can think about spirit, you can draw pictures of it, you can hear great music, you can listen to the great sages, and you could get high. You can really get high on spirituality. But your personal awakening, for you to move forward, you really do have to sit somewhere. It's helpful with your eyes closed, but it's really great with your eyes open. I did this in the middle of a mall once. You know, I was in these Course in Miracles meditations. They're every year you go through these workbook lessons, when you do, and you'll see on the same lessons, higher and higher calls for you to change, you know, to have higher and higher miracles. And, you know, some of these things, I do all with my eyes closed in the first several, every time, you know, I start with my eyes closed. And then sometimes I'll open my eyes in my meditation because I'm just so present with how everything's changing. Everything's being redefined. The Holy Spirit is reinterpreting what I'm thinking. And what I'm seeing, I'm thinking. So eyes open, eyes closed should not matter. And it's just like, wow, it's such a rich experience to have things live translated, even as your eyeballs are reporting differences, to be knowing sameness. I mean, it is wonderful. It's so once I went to a mall and I just sat in the middle of the atrium area, you know, people crossing and going there. You know what I mean? And I just did a meditation there and I just, you know, it was really fun. Responsibility for sight in your worldview. So you know what? So let's just take a minute. Let's have a couple of minutes and come into this welcoming. It should be kind of an invitation to you. An invitation right now over the next 5 minutes to release your world. Everything you know about it. It does not have to go poof. Just because you decide to let it go for a few moments, just for an instant is all it takes. I'll give you 5 minutes. That's 3,500 seconds. And somewhere in there, if one of those seconds is actually a free moment of stillness, of openness, you will leave your body in a holy instant. Only one of them is all it takes. I'll give you 3,500. We're talking about letting your world go. Take a deep breath. And we do this to feed your body the only thing that you need to make it comfortable enough to sit for 5 minutes. Air. It doesn't need anything else. It is your servant. Your body is your servant. In more ways, perhaps, and you realize your body has always been your servant. Watch it now as it calmly waits for what you're going to do with it next. Your body is your loyal and obedient servant. That you, whatever you are, that you are using, that you have always been using, it does not use you. Notice how it's waiting even now. And now open your vision a bit to the chair you're sitting on or the bed or whatever. This also is just waiting. You are using the chair. Sometimes chairs break and paint comes off or they get a tear in the seat. It's not exactly what you wanted, but it doesn't do that of its own. Things happen to the chair, to your body. But all the while, it's actually just waiting. Because you are using the chair. Only reason you are aware of it. Because you are using it. You're more aware of your own body. A little more personal. But you see the similarity? You are using your body as you are using the chair. And now open your vision a bit further. All the way to the planet, Earth, spinning in space. It's waiting. Patiently spinning. Bubbling underneath, pretty solid on top, pretty comfy for you. Would you know that you are using the chair you're sitting on, and you're using the earth. Just as you are using your body. Anybody want to comment before we jump in? I hear Ross did a pretty good job filling in for me.
Ross did a great job.
I went and got the recording and listened, so I know exactly how well he did, and it was great. I was like, whoa! Good job, Ross. Thank you. Okay, everybody, turn to 449 in the text. And we're looking at paragraph 5 now. And Ross, when you get there, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 5?
The world you see is but the idle witness that you were right. The witness is insane. You trained it in its testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you listened and convinced yourself that what it saw was true. You did this to yourself. See only this, and you will see how circular the reasoning on which your seeing rests. This was not given you. This was your gift to you and to your brother. Be willing, then, to have it taken from him and be replaced with truth. And as you look upon the change in him, it will be given you to see it in yourself.
Okay, thank you, Ross. This is one of the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles, metaphysical, I should say, metaphysics maybe is too strong here, but it's one of the teaching vectors that A Course in Miracles uses. You see how that paragraph finishes up? We're talking about you, and then suddenly it's your brother. And this is one of the ways A Course in Miracles can sneak in the teaching, because you think mostly you're okay, and that it's really the world that's got the problem, and it kind of sucks for you, holy, innocent you, to be here. Roughly speaking, for a lot, that's really the problem is other people. The problem is, that person. That has to be translated. It has to be surrendered. The other person being a problem has to be surrendered, but it has to be translated before it's surrendered. You can't just ignore your problems, because your problems, if left untranslated, remain. Your problems, if left unhealed, remain as problems. Do you see? They remain as vulnerabilities. They remain, at the very least, as bad memories of something that had control over you, at the very least. So they must be healed. The miracle is a shift in perception about what you think you see. Forgiveness is the releasing of your stinking thinking about what you see. You would not release your thinking about what you see without the miracle. Because the reason why you're thinking it is because you think it's real or important or has power over you. The miracle shows you it doesn't. The miracle shows you you are actually free. It's your mind, the world, your body has no power, the chair has no power, the earth has no power. You are using them all. You are using your memories. You are using the thoughts you have about the whole problems that you have or that you had. You're giving them all the meaning they have for you, and then you're living with it. If there's something that you believe has power over you to make you unhappy, that you worry about, or that you think is dangerous for you, the real you. Things that can hurt your body, they're all at the same level and they're not at a spiritual level. So leave those thoughts behind. Cancers, car wrecks, age. We all going to die. Jesus died. Buddha died. You know, boop, zip. Some of the greatest, you know, teachers, respectable, they died of cancer even, right? How holy were they? You might, it's all the same level. That's body level. It's not spiritual. You, on the other hand, the you that matters, the you that you actually know, that you is freed, always has been free, and you're thinking that there's something of this material world that can take away your freedom. Past, present, or future. These are your blocks to the awareness of love's presence. This is the work of A Course in Miracles, to catch your thinking, to catch your world, and free you from it. You're going to save the world this way. That phrase is in the book literally 25 times and then referentially 50 or 100 times. That you will save the world. Of course you must. You can't have an enemy. You can't have anything that was ever powerful over you. That's critical. You can't have anything that's powerful over you. Why? How? What? Why not? You say. Well, let's look back just a paragraph or two to remind ourselves. And Tim, would you read for us on page 448? Just pick up on paragraph 2, sentence 6, and read right through paragraph 3 as well. I got your mute, and talk to us about what the Course is trying to do with this particular miracle thinking.
So from the top of 449,
from the middle of 448, sentence 6 of paragraph 2, right after the italics.
Okay, sentence 6. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all the effects of your mistakes will disappear. It's impossible that the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of him. It is impossible that happenings that come to him were not of his choice. His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident. No accident nor chance is possible within the universe as God created it. outside of which is nothing. Suffer, and you decided sin was your goal. Be happy, and you gave the power of decision to him who must decide for God for you. This is the little gift you offer to the Holy Spirit. And even this he gives to you to give to yourself. For by this gift is given you the power to release your Savior, that he may give salvation unto you.
You see that circle again and again. You open your mind to a correction, and then the truth corrects it for you by giving you true perspective. That's right thinking. But you did, but it was there all the time, but you couldn't see it with your closed mind. Which means you're arguing, you're worrying, you are applying fear and guilt instead of looking with an open mind that is essentially trusting what really is. That is willing to be more honest with the truth that you now know, which is willing to actually enact a sense of tolerance for the squeak in the chair, for the wrinkle on the body, for the cancer on the body, for the upset other ego in your life, which also you are using. You're going to have to admit this, to allow these, to have tolerance for these things. They are playing out. It's a script that is written, for crying out loud. You're on stage and you're ruffling through your script and you're reading as you go along, acting it out a little more flavor because it's, you feel that way. This has been your whole life. So deceive yourself no longer that things just happen to you. After all, it's in capital letters. You are the Son of God. You're having a dream of being a child of man, of human. It's just a dream. And if you are on a spiritual path, you have chosen to awake. And that's what you awake from. But don't worry. It only means everything changes. That's all it means. You want to see where the Course says that? Like I said, things don't have to disappear, but they do have, their meaning has to change. You really do have to have the miracle, which is a shift in perception, occur. And then you have to stop thinking the old way with your fear, guilt, doubt, hiding, defensiveness to your bone. I mean, you have to, all these things have to be given up in order for you to recognize your own freedom. Let me just show you this short sentence where it says that. I don't have this memorized, so I have to look it up. But I have notes. Oh, wow. More than one place. Okay. Here's my favorite, though. Hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Wow, is this the next page? No, 50 pages later. Hold your finger here and go to page 499. 499. Yeah. It's kind of nice. We haven't read this forever. Barbara, I got your mute. Would you go ahead and read us those first two paragraphs of the introduction?
Okay, the goal of specialness. Forget not that the motivation for this course is the attainment and the keeping of the state of peace. Given this state, the mind is quiet and the condition in which God is remembered is attained. It is not necessary to tell him what to do. He will not fail. Where he can enter, there he is already. And can it be he cannot enter where he wills to be? Peace will be yours because it is his will. Can you believe a shadow can hold back the will that holds the universe secure? God does not wait upon illusions to let him be himself. no more his son. They are. And what illusion that idly seems to drift between them has the power to defeat what is their will? To learn this course requires willingness to question every value that you hold.
Which values?
Every value.
Oh. Came in my book. Yeah.
Not one can be kept hidden and obscure, but it will jeopardize your learning. No belief is neutral. Everyone has the power to dictate each decision you make. For a decision is a conclusion based on everything that you believe. It is the outcome of belief and follows it as surely as does suffering follow guilt and freedom sinlessness. There is no substitute for peace. What God creates has no alternative. The truth arises from what he knows, and your decisions come from your beliefs as certainly as all creation rose in his mind because of what he knows.
Yeah, what he knows. You're following what you know. He's following what he knows. Yeah. Sentence 5, for a decision is a conclusion based on everything that you believe. From learning, you have gained beliefs. And you believe now in your dream and in the world. So, paragraph 2, sentence 1. To learn this course requires willingness to question every value that you hold. Ooh. Remember, when the course says every, take it literally. And if you think it doesn't mean every, boy, you better stop. Don't say, well, he doesn't mean my children. He doesn't mean that I need to be loving in order to my children and to Donald Trump in order to be happy, or to go down to Costa Rica and build a church. That this proves this kind of behavior. Proves that you have a big heart, or that you should write more money, you should give more money to the causes that have afflicted your own family. You know, careful what the ego can do. The spiritual ego can just be wicked.
Can I tell you what came to me while we were doing these readings about myself?
Yeah, good, please.
When I grew up, I was the person in the family that was supposed to make sure everybody else was happy. So my belief is I have studied enough people in my lifetime to figure out what their motives are. That's my belief. So I've been sleeping on a mattress on the floor for the last 6 weeks because my daughter ordered a very special bed for me to have here. And it hasn't come, and it hasn't come, and it hasn't come. And she got a notice this morning and a telephone call yesterday saying it was going to be coming by some men who are going to install it in my bedroom between 2 and 4. Well, 4 came along, and nothing happened. And I was thinking, well, they probably ran out of time. They decided to go home instead. And then I was thinking at the beginning of this session, well, they maybe decided they just didn't want to do it today. Whatever. I figured it out, you see. It was about them. And then I thought, during this thing, you know, maybe there's no way I can know what their motivation is. Maybe there's no way I can know. I can do all kinds of ifs, but or maybes. But if I don't know, I don't know. Why don't I just say there are two men who are doing what they're doing, and I can love them no matter how often they don't come and bring my bed. And I thought, so I have to get rid of the belief system that I can figure out the motives of other people.
There's no surer way to hear a knock on your door saying, the bed is here. The minute I stop worrying about stuff, often it just happens. It seems.
Well, it's funny if it happened tonight, because I've decided to stop worrying about it because I'm not worrying
good,
about it.
Good.
I can sleep on the floor as long as it takes.
Good, good. Now 2, 3, 4 days can go by and you won't even notice. And then it just happens.
Yeah, the only thing I wish about not sleeping on the floor is that the spiders would quit biting me.
Don't get picky.
Don't get picky. Spiders feed off of me if they need to, right?
Yeah, right. Okay, so to learn this course requires a willingness to question every value that you hold. Not one can be kept hidden and obscure that it would jeopardize your learning. No belief is neutral. Every belief has the power to dictate each decision you make. Everyone has the power to dictate each decision you make. Wow. Wow. Every belief has a flavor, has a leverage, has a meaning, has a value, a perspective to dictate each decision you make. None are neutral. So watch your thinking. Ross, what do you got?
Well, I like what you said one time, and it's kind of an Andrew vocabulary where you said what you believe is true for you. What you believe is real for you, but not true.
Yeah.
So, and it's talking about belief in here. So I think it plays right into what we're talking about, that, you know, based on every, for a decision is a conclusion based on everything you believe, which makes it real for you. That's how you miscreate. You think something up, you decide, like, I can give you an example. My son told me that my climbing tool, he said, oh, well, I clipped it to your backpack. And we had given it to another person at the climbing site. And so I was going, well, you clipped it to my backpack. Why didn't you tell me before? Because now we're halfway down the path and it's not on my backpack. So obviously we gave it to this lady. And you know, I went through my mind and I was, you know, thinking, well, you know, I don't really know what's happened, like Lou Ann was saying. Hmm. And sure enough, you know, after going through all this and saying, well, maybe you can get it from her because she works here. And, you know, all this whole scenario, I opened up my backpack when I got back to my car and there it is. So the whole thing was real to me, but it wasn't true at all.
Yes.
And we've all done that, I'm sure. But isn't it fun? Because I had kind of let it go, and I was just like, it's a $15 item, and, you know, and I'm still talking about it now, of course.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I talked to another friend, and I said, why did he tell me he clipped it to my backpack when obviously he didn't, you know? But we've all done that, right?
Yeah.
We thought something was true. We were so sure that we were right. And then we found out, no, it wasn't it wasn't true at all. That's but right. It was real for us.
And all those emotions, all those emotions and the work just wasn't worth it.
Right. So
he didn't do anything.
So those words were going through my head. And I'm like, well, you know, this may not be true. Mm. I've made it pretty real because I'm already planning to buy a new one. I'm blaming my son. I'm blaming this lady for, you know, taking the item. There you go.
Probably more of that in our lives than the other. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
All the time.
How many times you were wrong and failed to notice? That's a sentence right out of the book. Jason, what do you got?
The only thing.
Well, last week when I was in New York City, I was visiting a friend who was playing jazz at a restaurant, and I hadn't seen him in 15 years. And so he had played his set, and I hadn't said hello yet. And right when I, just before he came out to say hello and give me a hug, I got a text from a friend saying, you know, I received an envelope to you, and it was empty. And I sent him $1,000, 10 $100 bills. And so here it is, this emotion of being, you know, raped or stolen from, whatever, and then having to be nice and be present and be, you know, feeling the feelings of joy of seeing an old friend right there in front of me is really kind of interesting, because I had a choice. I had a choice right then and there to worry about the money or to be present and share the joy and love of being with a friend. So I said, I'm going to choose love instead, and it works. And I get back to San Francisco, and I come inside my apartment, and there's $1,000 sitting on my desk with some checks. I forgot to put it in the envelope.
Set up for you. Happens to be set up for you for maximum benefit. And the fact that you found the $1,000, that Ross found his tool, it's really immaterial. The situation was way more valuable for you to choose peace than $1,000. You did it, Jason. For crying out loud, you took control of your life and you chose peace to embrace that person who had nothing to do with $1,000. And you embraced that loving moment. That's love, choosing love over fear. You did it. And losing a climbing tool, you know, precious, you know, any little thing, little or big, is now, in the, because you're a Course in Miracles student, you do have access to the Holy Spirit. Now this is an opportunity for each one for your awakening, a little more, $15 or $1,000 at a time. All of them are usable. Good. I love it. Great stories, guys. Jeez. Okay, back to 449. Back 50 pages to 449. Sentence 1 on paragraph 5. The world you see is but the idle witness. I'm pausing for dramatic effect.
That what you're doing.
Yeah. That you were right. Ha! I knew I was alone. I knew I was vulnerable. I knew people were out to get me. I'm stuck. I'm stuck with what I got. This is the world you see. And your chosen teacher, Jesus, just pointing it out. Very, very personal statement. The world you see is but the... Interesting, he puts the word idle in there. He's always teaching. You could read past that word and that, don't give it a second thought, and it would be a great sentence. You could delete it. It would be a great sentence. And a really strong teaching that is way out there, you know, super corrective power, enough to meditate on, enough to fight and throw the book out the window. I mean, that's a lot. And that little sentence, if we just take the word idle out, the world you see is but the witness that you were right. Done. I got your mute. Hang on. Go ahead. Okay, got it.
I moved on a few sentences. I'd just like you to maybe expound on this a bit.
Sure.
See only this. And
by the way, everybody, you got to ask. If you find something that excites you, as you know, you bring it up and ask, because you know, I'll go off and we might spend the whole meeting and not even get back to this paragraph. So this is your meeting. And if you find something, thank you, Don. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So you did this to yourself. See only this and you will see how circular the reasoning in which you're seeing rests. This was not given you. this was your gift to you and to your brother. So now these are the sentences I was wondering about. Be willing then to have it taken from him. Be willing to have it taken from him and be replaced with truth. And as you look upon the change in him, it will be given you to see it in yourself. So that sentence, be willing then to have it taken from him.
Yes.
And be replaced with truth.
Could yes.
you expound on that a little bit?
Good, Don. That's where I was going. You know, I probably never would have got there. With the time we have left, I probably never would have. That's the most important thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Thank you. So if anybody is interested, that little word idle is a whole nother discussion, maybe a level beyond. We don't even need to go there. But it's anyway. So let's look at what Don brought up. Okay. This was okay. First off, it says, this world, this witness is insane. You trained this world and your brother in its own testimony. You trained it in its testimony, meaning that it can only speak on what you gave it the ability to speak. You know what testimony is? We have a witness who testifies of some truth and actually speaks out and now is the arbiter, not the arbiter, but the giver of the proof of what is true. This is a testimony. So because of your mind and your ego and your beliefs of what you are willing to tolerate that somebody could say, you give them their testimony before they open their mouth. When those movers show up with Luann's bed, finally, days late, she got spider bites. Maybe tonight she gets them on her face. I mean, this is embarrassing now. Oh my God. And they open the door and there they are. And she's loaded. Potentially, she is locked and loaded with a testimony of what these guys are trying to hide. Is it good enough? Is their story going to be good enough for those spider bites? Well, we're going to see. Really?
If I ever get the bed, because it's been a month since they were supposed to bring it, I'll let you know how I react when they come in.
A month? Oh, I hope those guys are tough. A month. No, Luann is a wonderful, loving person. She does not want to beat herself up. Because no matter what she says to those guys, she's only beating herself up and making it a difficult day for her. She knows this. Yeah. However, when they open their mouths and start to speak, when they start to describe why the bed is a month late, she will have already chosen, before they speak, to what it is they are testifying. She doesn't have the exact details, but she's already decided. Innocence or guilt? As you spoke, Luann, innocence or guilt would be your choice before they get there.
Well, I've already decided that whatever it was all right.
Okay, beautiful. That a girl. Nice. Okay?
So, yep. Are you still explaining to Don what that?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Look at where it goes. You trained the world and the brother in his testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you listened and convinced yourself that what it saw was true. You did this to yourself. See only what you did to yourself, and you will also see how circular the reasoning on which your seeing rests. In other words, you spot it, you got it.
It's kind of back to what you've always said, is what you give is what you receive.
That's correct.
If you give them innocence, you'll receive innocence. If you give them love, you'll receive love. If you take away your idea of their testimony being that they're a bunch of idiots, or whatever I was thinking before,
yep.
Then you say, you know what, I don't know. All I know about them is they're children of God just like I am. I'll get it back from them.
All you know about them is that when that bed actually shows up, that is exactly what was possible to happen.
Yeah.
given them, given the bed, given whatever. No need to judge it. Barbara.
So I want to bring something up, and if it's too far afield of what we're talking about.
Okay, well, then let me finish answering Dawn, and then we'll come back to you.
Go for it, because it's in this paragraph. But
thank you for that introduction. Always helps when you say, I'm about to go too far afield. That's great. Stand by. Okay, this was your gift to you and to your brother. Gift? Yes, this was your gift to you and to your brother. These thoughts that you had, these judgments that you had, this definition of what the world is your gift to you and your brother. It came from you. Here we go. Be willing then to have it taken from him. He who is in your mind. These movers, they're in all of our minds right now, aren't they? I think some of you actually had pictures of what these guys look like. I'm pretty sure. And as you look upon the change, that sounds like a miracle to me. Perception, you know, shift in perception, a change. The change in your brother, then and only then, it will be given you to see this change in yourself. The genesis of your own freedom will be in releasing the guilt that you have been giving, the punishment that you think is deserved.
Can I say one more thing about that?
Sure.
It relates back to the belief systems you have. You have a belief system, and it turns out you have given that belief to your brother in the sense that you put the belief on him, and then you get the belief reinforced. But if you decide, oh my God, it was just a belief, it wasn't true, what is true? Then you'll get that from your brother, whatever you decided is true.
It's nice to take it really, really personally. Instead of thinking you're casting your thoughts out there about them, that you recognize that they're coming through your life.
Yeah. It's my belief system.
As you give, you receive. And so look at page 142.
Wait.
Yeah.
Before you go on. So what I just noticed that I maybe you can comment on further, it doesn't say then, it doesn't say take it from him.
Right.
It says be willing then to have it taken from him.
Yes.
And be replaced with the truth. That's like the Holy Spirit doing it.
Very good, Don.
And then reinterpreting.
Very good, Don.
Yeah. Okay.
You see, the you who's reading the book is not actually capable of making this correction. You're capable of making the problem, and you've been dedicated to it. Now you must recognize, now you must awaken and see that you are participating, and you've now believed in your participation as your own identity. Whoa, that means you became your ego. Whoa. There is a part of your mind that's still connected to the truth called the Holy Spirit. You must now surrender what you believe to be true. You see, you really, with your heart and soul, you know something that's not true, as Ross is reminding us. And so you have to be willing to be awoken from that.
Sorry.
Okay, Barbara, sounds like you're on point now, huh? Wait, I got you.
I'm not sure, and you can still kick me off, but okay. I think it's relevant. I am interested in words too, Ross, the words that are used in the book. You were interested in one that wasn't used often. I'm interested in the ones that are used over and over and over again. And the ones I'm interested in are usually three or four letters. I was a first grade teacher. I know these words. I teach children how to read these simple words.
Good.
And yet this is not what I was teaching.
Good.
And in this paragraph, the word see.
Yep.
See, spot, run.
Yes.
Look, Dick. See, Jane. You know what I mean? That's a pre-primer word. But it is repeated over and over and over in this paragraph, the one we just read, and you used it in your explanation to Don. So it's used repeatedly, and yet we do not see. The course keeps telling us we need to see this, see that, see the other thing. So when I'm reading it, I'm looking for, how do I see? I know that I'm supposed to see, but I'm not seeing. So show me how to see. And you keep referring to spirit. You said it the last time. You will find your own spiritual awakenings. And I had one around the word see. And it is in the chapter 19 when it talks about faith. Now, I had a spiritual awakening around the function of time, which I brought up a long time ago. It was the first time I had an inkling or was introduced to the holy instant and the difference between the holy instant and the past and the future, which jumps over the holy instant. Well, in this chapter 19, when it's talking about faith, it's healing and faith. It tells you that you see through faith. That's what it says. And so that's about what you were talking about. You have to forget in order to remember.
You got it.
You have to forget how you see so yes. that you can see through faith, which means you don't understand necessarily. You
right.
don't know the machinations mm-hmm. of the process, mm-hmm. but you have to have faith.
Yes.
Because faith is seeing. Is that too far afield?
Faith affords seeing beyond.
Right.
No faith, you will only see what you already think is true.
Right. So it's in giving up. It's in giving up. And that's one of the problems, I think, about studying the course.
Hold on now. Hold on. One step at a time here.
Okay.
What is a key element, perhaps you might even say it was an equivalent to faith? What some of the faith, what is faith? Now, first of all, I want you to recognize that faith is not knowing. Whatever faith is, it's not knowing. You see, if you actually knew, you wouldn't need faith, would you?
Right. And that's the great thing.
Good.
That is the great Good. Thing.
Good. But as you perfectly said, I think your discussion was just flawless. I couldn't say it better. The idea that faith, I just put in the word affords, the forward seeing, in order for you to see beyond what you have always held to be true or your small-mindedness, your worries and your doubts, to see beyond those, you said, it needs faith. Yeah.
And that's simple.
So what's a quality of faith? Ross, what do you got?
Nothing so blinding as the perception of form.
Yes.
It's blinding,
It's blinding.
That's what this paragraph is saying.
Nice.
The world you see is but the idol. You trust it. Da, 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 da. See only this and you will see how circular the reasoning. So yes. You're blinded by what
you... Blinded. You're blinded by what you already know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jason?
Well, also, we haven't discussed the difference of seeing in the body. The body is an instrument. And it can't really do or know anything, but we have fallen trapped to that. We think it's seeing is inviolate, and it's not. I mean, the seeing that we see is so. The conversation in this paragraph is not double negative, but you got to really know what seeing he's talking about in each.
Yeah, you really have to track. You got to track pretty closely on this one. It's kind of fun that we brought it up because what we're really talking about is a changing of your reality, a changing of what you trust. It's a very, very subtle thing, this changing your vision. You know, there's a place where it talks about it in absolute, in your face detail on page 142. Go to page 142. Barbara, you want to say something else? Everybody go
no,
to page
142. No, go ahead. Let's go to 142.
Okay, because I don't want to miss whatever else you have to say. You are on fire here.
Well, I do have other things to say, but let's go to 142.
I mean, I'm loving it. Great. Good job. Look at 142. This is another place where he's just right in your face. And by the way, like I said, this is one of the vectors that Don pointed out. Throughout the book, the vectors of teaching is your brother. Your brother this, your brother that. See your brother as holy. You know, all throughout the lessons and the, you know, because you can't do this for yourself, you're too close to yourself. I mean, potentially you could, but the book says, nah, it's too much. Let's work with the characters that you think are real, that you made. It's a little too tough to make it perfectly personal and have you a perfect spiritual awakening just within yourself. That's too hard. Why? Let's go an easier route. Still hard enough what Course in Miracles is without having to do this all in the absolute nature. So instead, let's use some of the relative stuff you've made up, like your brother, for example. The source of your problems, for example. Look at paragraph 4. And Don, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4 on 142?
When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him, you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you.
We could spend a whole weekend seminar. Ross. Wait, I got your mute. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
All right. There's another place where you can add to that in the preface. Our brother's needs become our own because they are taking the journey with us as we go to God.
Nice.
Right in there with what this
All right. Thank you.
Even more succinct.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Louie-Ann, read for us paragraph 5. It just goes on.
The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself.
Okay, so hold on there. The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, whether it's Holy Spirit, Buddha, Jesus, Krishna, Krishnamurti, or your brother, is know thyself. Wow. Good. Please continue.
There is nothing else to seek.
Oh, wow. That makes it kind of zen, doesn't it? We're getting down to just short, simple sentences here.
I may go dead here, but if I don't, then I'll just continue reading until I do.
Okay, I hope you don't, really, frankly.
Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost. Whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. Your power and glory are in him because they are yours. The ego tries to find them in yourself alone because it does not know where to look. The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself because that is not what you are.
Man, he does not miss a chance to stick it to you and give you the truth to dig in. But please continue. Just love this.
Whenever you are with the brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. You will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. He will be imprisoned or released according to your decision, and so will you. Never forget your responsibility to him because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him his place in the kingdom, and you will have yours.
Beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Don, it's teaching this throughout the book that we need to somehow get out of our ego's definition of what your brother is. And it has to be that you allow this to be taken by your Holy Spirit away from what your unholy spirit would continue to do if you leave it unchallenged. Barbara, hold on a minute. I got your mute. Okay.
I just want to continue a minute with the faith idea.
Because oh, yeah.
It contains a lot of what we're talking about. And I'm going to read from page 400, number 11, it says, and this is about seeing, and it's about the body's eyes, Jason. Faith is the gift of God through him whom God has given you. Okay, so faith is the gift of God through the Holy Spirit, right? Who God has given us, you. Faithlessness looks upon the Son of God and judges him unworthy of forgiveness. But through the eyes of faith, the Son of God is seen already forgiven. Seen, free of all the guilt he laid upon himself. Faith sees him only now because it looks not to the past to judge him, but would see in him only what it would see in you. It sees not through the body's eyes, nor looks to bodies for its justification. It is the messenger of the new perception.
Bingo.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yes.
Sent forth to gather witnesses unto its coming and to return their messages to you. And here's another circle. Faith is as easily exchanged for knowledge as is the real world. For faith arises from the Holy Spirit's perception and is the sign you share it with him. Faith is a gift you offer to the Son of God through him and wholly acceptable to his Father as to him, and therefore offered you.
That's perfect. Right in line with what we're talking about.
Yeah. So let's go. My spiritual awakening. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Be beautiful. I mean, right in line. You're calling it out, applying faith. But let's dig in a little to the three-letter words you brought up in our few minutes we have left. S-E-E. C. Those first few sentences you had, would you please reread them? Only this time, I'd like you to substitute S-E-E with the word understand. Because C, the way we're using it, is coarse code for understand.
Yes. Okay, so where I started at 11?
Yeah, just the first four sentences.
Faith is the gift of God through him whom God has given you. Faithlessness looks upon the Son of God and judges him unworthy of forgiveness. But through the eyes of faith, the Son of God is understood, already forgiven. Is that what I'm supposed to? Is seen, already forgiven. Is that what where I'm supposed to substitute?
Yes.
Okay. Is understood to be, right, already forgiven.
Right. It's so different, right? But it's exactly the message.
Exactly. It's not see. It's
right?
Understood.
It's not see with the body's eye. See
exactly.
with the mind.
Exactly.
To see with the mind is
exactly.
to understand.
Exactly. Let's see. Free of all the guilt he laid upon himself. Faith understands him only now because it looks not to the past to judge him, but would understand in him only what it would understand in you. There you go.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. It understands not through the body's eyes, nor looks to bodies for its justification. It is a messenger of the new perception. Sent forth to gather witnesses unto its
yeah company. Yeah that's good enough yeah. That's you got it
yeah
so,
thank
it's
you
another, so there's SEE equals understand
right
and,
thank
it, and
you.
You're welcome. It's an invitation from the Holy Spirit. Good
thank you
you're welcome. Well, that completes our study in Course in Miracles this evening together. Thank you very much. Studying Course with me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is your book. I mean, this is your book.
Can I ask one troubling question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you think you can develop a dependence on this book?
Sure. I hope you do. You would drop it eventually because, you know, I mean, you have to drop anything material, including the book in it, and its teachings become less and less important as you awaken because you no longer need them.
Okay.
Turn to workbook page. I'll show you where it says it. Workbook page 360. Workbook page 360. In the workbook. So, you know, I have often looked at that myself because I spend so much time with this book. And I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And, you know, it is healing my mind. It's been giving me these wonderful gifts, you know. And am I getting addicted to the book? Is the book going to start to get in the way of me being, you know, my natural awakening? But then I read a paragraph like paragraph 7 on page 360 in the workbook. It says, simply do this. Be still. Andrew, and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is, all of them. All concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Andrew, empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, either good or bad. Of every thought that your mind judges worthy and of all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing, Andrew. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world, forget this course, and come with wholly empty hands unto your God.
That's great.
Andrew, where were you? I'm sorry. What page?
That's page 360 in the workbook, lesson 189.
That's great. That's bookmarkable.
It's so sober, right? I mean, the book is really clean. It doesn't. It's not lost itself in its own teaching either.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
Graduation day,
thank
right
you.
There.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you again.